together, and God, and as God takes us a certain direction this morning, I have a question, and we'll answer it. Ask yourself a question. It may seem silly at first, but are you born again? You hear that phrase before? I've had people come to me in the, you know, through the years saying, hey, are you one of those born-again believers? And sometimes I say, well, I'm a Christian, you know, because sometimes it might come with the notes that they're making fun of me maybe or something. But the fact is this morning for everybody here, I want to talk about being born again. Born again. I noticed as I have been preaching for Pastor Lee that, you know, each church or church, you and I, we'll talk about it, have a DNA in us from God. And each church has a DNA. And I can tell you one thing about this church is our DNA here is, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the grace of God that sets a captive free. It's the grace of God that changes us. It's the grace of God that propels us into purpose. Amen? Only the grace of God can do that. Only the grace of God. So as I'm up here speaking, I always realize that the foundation of our church is that grace, that Pauline gospels, that revelation that Paul received of grace. Amen? And so a lot of times for speech, I find that it's talking a lot of time about the same things, but it's like coming from different angles. God reveals. He reveals more of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a set of ideals or a set of phrases that we say over and over again so something will work in our lives. It's a person. He is God, right? God the Father, right? God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that dwells in the believer. So he's a person unveiling himself to us. Amen? Revealing himself little bit by little bit. Do you agree with that? And so, question, are you born again? Now, I had mentioned the scripture from 1 Thessalonians 5:23 last week. It says, now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you can put that example up, Bill, if you don't mind. So you can kind of look at this for the believer. Look, you can see that right in the middle is the spirit, right? We'll talk about it. The spirit man. The spirit, you know, you got a spirit man in you. As you become born again, if you're not born again, that spirit man is dead. It's not alive unto God. But outside of that, we have the mind, right? I think. You're always going to have these things, right? Because of being the being that we are, we got our mind. So I think, my thought process, my emotions, I feel, right? Emotions are good regardless. Are emotions good? I love emotions. Emotions sometimes are the things that can propel me into things that are going on in my life. Emotions can be, we'll talk about, can go outside the lines of what is healthy. And then my will, my choices. And all those things are meant to become under the harness and control of your spirit man. A matter of fact, in this church, we have, I mentioned a DNA that it's about the grace of God. If it ever becomes a set of ideals in here outside of the spirit, but just a set of ideas, then it's no different than humanism. If it just becomes about, let me give you 3 points on how to cope, then you can get that anywhere. Not, you don't have to come to church to get that, right? But if we're speaking the things of the Spirit to your spirit, that's when things come alive. Things begin to fan into fame, the flame, the gifts, the callings, the purposes, the dreams, the visions that God places in individuals and in a church itself. The big screen. God always, when he came, boom, he had a bullseye, and that was the soul, the spirit realm of the man, of man. Amen. So I want to start about this account. You guys know this account in the Bible, of course, John 3, right? John 3. We said together John 3:16. But there were some scriptures. There's a story behind that leading up to John 3:16. So I want to start there, John 3. We're going to go through 1 through 8, but we're going to kind of go through these bit by bit. So John 3, the first one says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So first of all, we got a Pharisee, right? It says a Pharisee. A Pharisee is somebody who's what? Who knows the law. With the Pharisees, not only did they know the books of Moses, but they also believed and studied in depth the prophet books as well. So this is a group of religious leaders, those who've dedicated their lives to studying the scripture in depth, memorizing it, looking into it, trying to understand what it means. And to be honest, they're looking to when their Messiah would show up. That was their purpose. When is Israel going to be set free? Looking into the scriptures. You remember the scripture where Jesus says, you look into the scriptures, but you don't realize they speak of me. So we have the Pharisee, and not just any Pharisee. Nicodemus says he was a ruler of the Jews. So he was a leader of his people. He was giving them spiritual direction. When people needed to understand or wanted to understand the Bible, they were going to somebody like Nicodemus. He's a lead. Not only is he a Pharisee, but he was a ruler of the Jews. We're setting this up. And he comes in the guise of night. Comes in the guise of night, right? He can't come during the day because there's already a problem. The religious leaders are saying this guy is, I don't know, he's false. He's saying and doing things that we don't believe are of God. Or the truth of the matter is that they were jealous, it says, of the people following after Jesus and not following after them anymore. So he says there was something going on in his life. Something going on in the life of Nicodemus that he had come to Jesus at night. And then verse 3 says, Jesus responded. And this is that he comes to him. I love this first thing. Is Jesus could have said, yes, you're right. I've done a lot of miracles. I am God. That's all true, right? You haven't seen anything yet, Nicodemus. He could have said, you haven't seen anything yet. Just stick around, Nicodemus. You're going to see what God can do. I am God. But it's funny. What Jesus cuts to the chase. He could have said anything, and Jesus didn't even respond to what he mentioned about his miracles. And he says this. He says, Jesus responded and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's right to the point. Born again. Unless you are born again. And funny, as far Nicodemus being a leader, he was a leader, right? And he was, he was studied in the law. Didn't know anything that God was talking about at that time. Had no idea. How do we know? Well, listen, let's continue. Nicodemus said to him, how can a person be born when he is old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? Nicodemus, it's funny that Nicodemus did what many people do. He's thinking in the natural. He's thinking, well, maybe something as far as following the Torah, or something that I've missed that I haven't seen in the Word of God that you're going to reveal to me here so that I can add that to my life. Isn't that what religion does, though? It says, hey, add this to your life. Try to subtract that. And maybe the things that you've added and the things have subtracted, you'll be found in the balances towards God. And so Nicodemus, thinking such, how can I be born again? Can I go into my mother's womb again? You know, it's funny that many people, like Nicodemus, maybe this is his mindset. I need to turn over a new leaf. I'm not happy with my life. You know, New Year's resolutions, that a lot of times they don't work, do they? I want to turn over a new leaf. And some of these things by themselves is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, so people say, turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start over. I want to start over again. I'm going to read some self-help books. I'm going to move to a new area. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to change my diet. No more mac and cheese. As an example. Now, these things in themselves, there's nothing wrong with it, right? But the mindset with people is if I could just change some things. Nicodemus was thinking that way. Oh, you want me to turn over a new leaf? I'll be born again? You want me to start over, try to take some steps, change what I do? That's what he was thinking, but that's not even where God was going, was he? Talking about being born again. This morning I ask you, are you born again? Are you born again?
Amen.
And then Jesus in verse 5 says, answer, truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed what I say to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it is coming from and where it is going. So is everyone who has been born of the Spirit. You know what? And in the Greek, that word spirit, I see it says just pneuma. In the Greek, is a current of air, a breath, or a breeze. Kind of reminds me, remember when he formed Adam and he breathed into Adam's nostrils and brought life? And so mentioned here where Jesus talks about, you don't know which way the wind comes or where it goes, so it is with the Spirit. Make no mistake that even though you don't see a spirit or the world doesn't understand the Spirit, there is definitely a spirit process going on in you, a spirit process going on to those around you, and in our prayers, a spirit process going on in our country. Can't see which way the wind's blowing, can't see where it's coming or where it's going, but there's definitely something happening in the Spirit. Do you believe that? The world can't conceive it. The natural says, well, if we can turn over a new leaf, if we can change the government, we can do this, then somehow people's hearts will change. But the thing is, it's going to come from the Spirit. You can't see it, but it's going to make an impact on people's lives. Father, we thank you for doing that in the hearts of people and your church today. Thank you, Father. The Spirit, in you, the wind blowing on you, alive unto you. And he goes on, we didn't go on, but he asked Nicodemus, says, you're a teacher, don't you understand these things? He had no idea. Spiritual things hadn't been revealed. It was all about trying, turning over that new leaf, making that work, trying a little bit harder. Take, you know, maybe some new goals. I mean, in the, by themselves, I'm not saying those are wrong, but do you know what I mean? When that's all you're focused on, that's all you have is works, desires, what your ability is in the natural. Amen? Then, and by the way, the unbeliever doesn't understand these things. So when we talk about, or when they say, are you one of those born-again believers? They don't understand. 1 Corinthians 2:14 in the Amplified says, but the natural unbelieving man does not accept the things, the teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, absurd, and illogical to him. And he is incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated. And he is unqualified to judge spiritual matters. So we know that when God's doing things in our lives, when we're praying for our nation, when we're standing firm, the world is not going to understand it. Of course, they're going to try to implement government programs or talk about new things that they think will hope that'll do something in the natural, but they do nothing. Amen? So when we talk about the things of our God working in this nation, in our lives, they're not going to understand because we've been born again. We've been born again. You know, we have a natural DNA, don't we? We all do. But you know what? Because we're talking about this being born again with this Spirit in us, alive, we have a spiritual DNA. That's why we're family, like we can call each other brothers and sisters. We each have a spiritual DNA. We have to. It talks about the seed of the Word of God in our lives. We have to have a DNA. In the natural, we can see the DNA. We all have strengths and weaknesses. Some have blue eyes, some have brown eyes. We have weaknesses and strengths in the natural. I was thinking about this power lifter. Sometimes I'll see online, his name is Eddie something, big guy. Used to like, good. He can do something over 1,000 pounds, I forgot what it was, deadlift, just a monster. But you know what, he'll try to do things that, I like his videos, that he can't do. Now if you put him on under a squat rack, deadlift, whatever, I mean the guy's an absolute animal. But they put a golf club in his hand. And that was the funniest thing I ever saw. He couldn't hit it as far as I can. And I can't hit it that far, just like he's just like, and it go a little ways. And the guy that he was with that was like 150 pounds lighter than him would just whack, and there it'd go. I'd like to see that guy galloping on a horse. He'd be hanging on with all his strength. Oh, he's just galloping. He'd fall off. See, we have our strengths and weaknesses in the flesh, don't we? But we also have DNA in our spirit that overcomes those weaknesses. Why does Paul say, when I'm weak, I'm strong? Because he's relying on that spirit. He's born again, that spirit, that DNA that's within him. Not relying on the natural. I think the biggest thing is miracles. You think of even through the Bible, the stories. It said these were done as examples to you and I. David killing Goliath. How could he do that in the natural? In the natural, Saul tried to put armor on him. He said, I can't do this. But he did exactly what the Spirit of God told him. The stones. A guy that had a helmet on, all that armor, big sword. God puts that stone right in the only spot he could to kill him. Killed him. What did David do? Then he cut the head off the giant. Using spiritual DNA. Wasn't natural. You know it wasn't natural. There was something inside of him that says, oh, the sword. If he'd gone in the natural, what would have happened to David? We would never heard of him. Because he would have been dead. But because he was relying on the spiritual DNA that was placed within him, he did great exploits. Amen? See, in the natural, our natural DNA, it's always going to be, I can't do that. I don't think I can accomplish that. I'm never going to overcome that. When we're relying on our flesh, the mind, will, and emotions, and the spirit man within us isn't in charge or growing in confidence the way God designed it, that's where we stay put where we're at. We don't go forward. We don't face our giants. We don't have confidence. We're always looking behind us of the past failures. We're never looking forward based upon God's DNA that he's placed in our life. Amen? See, you have God's DNA, for there's no one like you in the spirit, man. Just like individually, we're all different. In the physical realm, we're all different. Also in the spiritual realm, we're all different. We're none of us are the same. See, our spirit man lives forever, right? It's alive unto God. It's packed with things that God put in us. When you have somebody, a child that's born and it's 1 or 2 years old, me and Sean were talking about this morning. It can walk a little bit, a baby, right? Maybe it looks like it's father, mother a little bit, but not much. But as that child grows up, right? The evidence of the DNA that they have in the physical realm becomes evident. In the spiritual realm, it's the same way. As we grow in our confidence in him, as we grow in him, we become looking more and more like our Father. And the exploits that our Father do become part of our exploits because we're growing up into him and because we have his DNA. Jesus said, the things that I do, you shall do as well, and greater things than these shall you do. Are you born again? You have his DNA. Amen and amen. Corinthians 5:17, we know this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. Why? Because they're born again. The old things passed away. Behold, no new things have come. New DNA has come alive on the inside of that individual. New purpose beyond what's capable in the physical realm. Do you believe that? Story after story in the Bible of people doing beyond anything, walking in the joy, regardless of what's going on around him in the world, walking in his joy because he's in him. You think of Moses, he says, send somebody else. No, thank you. God had to convince him. But it's all these stories about us being born again, new covenant believers, saying, I can walk out on anything God puts in my heart, regardless of my age. Moses wasn't a young man when he started. He was 80 years old. He'd been walking around in the desert with the sheep and so forth of his father-in-law for 40 years. He had plenty of time to think and sit in there and say, this has got me a good wife, got me some children's. I'm just going to enjoy this. And then suddenly a burning bush, right? Suddenly a burning bush. But it's an example to you and I as far as what God has put in us for purpose, regardless of our age. Amen? Do you believe that? And then spiritual DNA is in the individual, but it's also in each body of believers. So we have a group DNA. Well, how do I know? 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14 says, for just as the body is one, or you could say it this way, just as the church, just as the church is one and yet has many parts, and all the parts of the church or body, though they are many, are one body. So also in Christ, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body by His Holy Spirit. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one part, is not one part, but many forming one body. You know, that's called, I think about that drink, one Spirit. I love when I come in here and we're worshiping. Did you know that that's an opportunity to drink of His Spirit corporately? Amen. That's an opportunity, regardless of what's going on in the emotional realm, where your mind, but from your spirit, where you're born again, to worship Him. Say, Lord, thank You for Your blessing. Lord, I drink deeply of Your Spirit corporately. Thank You, Father God, for blessing me today. Thank You, Father, for strengthening me. God, I worship You, my Father, my Creator. I'm made in Your image. It's an opportunity to drink of His Spirit. When I come in here, I think, Lord, regardless of how I'm feeling, not letting my emotions run what's going on, not letting my mind, but the spirit man is connected with You. I worship You, Father. And when we have that heart, the roof of this place will be taken off. Worshiping Him in spirit and truth. What's the truth? Jesus is the Christ. There's only one way to heaven. I am born again. That's the truth. And because I know the truth, I worship Him in spirit. Thank You, Jesus. We love You. Amen. That drink means to furnish. He furnishes the drink. It means to irrigate, feed, or to water. I think of the irrigate. I think of Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. But his delight is in all the Lord, and whatever he should do shall prosper. And he shall be like a tree planted by where? Rivers of water. If you got tree by water, that means you're getting irrigated, right? That's irrigation. So we're here, we're all trees, like trees, right? It says in the Old Testament, the trees of the field will clap their hands. It's a symbol of individuals worshiping Him, Him watering us. It seemed like this morning when we were worshiping that we were being watered. As we were greeting one another, it sounded like we were being watered. Thank You, Father, so we're under one Spirit. Amen. Drinking of that Spirit today. Did you get an opportunity to drink of that Spirit today? Amen. Amen. You know, the danger of the church is that we come together and have an expectation based upon only our natural DNA. I talked about that. That we come together and share some ideas. That we get some coping mechanisms. We never want to do that. The job of anybody in this pulpit up here is to unveil Jesus Christ, because He's the only one that can change us. He's the only one that can grow us up. He's the only one that can bring us out of depression. He's the only one that can set the captive free. It's His Spirit that does that. Amen? Unto purpose. Unto purpose. Amen. See, the Spirit always leads to freedom. The Spirit of God always leads to freedom. You know that scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:17, don't you? Now the Lord is that Spirit in our spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, liberty, His graciousness, His power, His anointing. Sometimes I like to look at antonyms, the opposite. So thinking, what's the opposite of freedom? And it kind of gives, it can give me an idea. Say, Lord, is there areas where I'm not walking in Your freedom? You can say, oh, I'm walking in freedom. Then you start looking at what the opposite of freedom is, and it gives me an idea. Say, Lord, am I walking in Your freedom? Is there some areas where I'm stuck? Areas where I've been stuck so long that now I don't even realize it? Just a rut. You ever seen it? You just keep going around that circle. Sometimes when people have lived in depression their whole life, they don't even know what it feels like coming out of it. Amen. Or they just give into certain thing that they struggle with their whole life, so they just give up on it. But what's the opposite of freedom is inability, incompetence, restraint, captivity, weakness, confinement, imprisonment, limitation, reserve, slavery, subjection, suppression. And when I was looking this up, this was on here, at least what I was looking up on the internet. The opposite of freedom, they also had here, government and communism. Isn't that interesting? This nation, it can only be free through Jesus Christ. Amen? Where I have God's freedom, I can take responsibility for my own life. But where you have a people that cast off the Holy Spirit or his restraint, then the government feels like it has to come in and make people behave. But it's because of the Spirit of God in this country has made this thing called being an independent nation, a democracy, work, right? And that's what it is. But then you see, you have the enemy that tries to tell people the opposite of freedom. That an individual, a people, a set of ideals, a government is actually going to bring you freedom. But it never works. You might as well be a Sadducee or Pharisee. Because that's the end result. It's actually bondage. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Our mental reasoning, our emotions, if not led by your spirit man, will always tell you you're not enough. That desire or dream you have or had can't be accomplished. You'll always struggle financially. You'll always be sick. That's what the natural says. But the spirit man says, by your stripes, I've been healed. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. God, you've given my life, you've packed me with DNA that has purpose. I think the main thing, as I've learned over the last decade or so, because doesn't a decade go by quickly? Man, as I've walked with him, regardless of what's going on in the natural, even my own struggles, if I keep focused on what he's placed in me because I've been born again, God is going to get me there. God will get this church here, the DNA, reaching those in this area that need to hear about the grace of God, that need to hear about his forgiveness, that need to know that if you're born again, become born again, he will put this new life in you. And then a church together helps you walk it out, to grow up, to grow into the faith and the purposes. Amen? He put a seed within us. Let me see if I might have missed that one. First Peter 1:23, I think I skipped that, Bill, didn't I? For if you have been born again, not a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. So God's seed in us. You know, a seed has DNA, doesn't it? If you put a seed that for a mustard or for corn, a seed for corn, what are you going to get? You're going to get corn. So when God's spirit is in us, we're born again, that seed, we're going to get exactly what he designed it for. There's no other option. Exactly what he placed in there is going to come forth. We can trust him for that. It's amazing to know what God has put it within us as we grow in him. Things come forth and come out of us that we would never have imagined, because it can't be done in the natural. It can only be done with the spiritual DNA God's placed in your life. Let me ask you this morning. Are you born again? If thou shalt confess with the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that he is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Just know that if you believe with faith that Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, amen, He died on a cross. He was raised from the dead. If you believe that, the Holy Spirit will come in you, and it says he will make you a new creation. I'm not saying everything will be perfect. By all means, we have an enemy. That's a whole different subject. But you're promised that everything you need is placed within you when you are born again. You won't have to turn over a new leaf. God makes you a new leaf. You won't have to make a list of, I can hope I can accomplish these. Out of your spirit shall flow rivers of living water unto purpose. You'll write things down that God gives you, dreams and visions. It doesn't matter the past, to just stay firm, say, I've been born again. As you grow in him, these things will be released in your life. You believe that?
Yeah.
1 John 5:4, as the worship team comes up, they're saying, oh, so soon? Yes, so soon. Have you enjoyed the Lord's presence today? I love this. 1 John 5:4. Let this go into your spirit, man. For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcame the world, our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. Maybe this morning, knowing that you're born again, that you can be persistent. You can continue to walk in faith. If you're lacking wisdom in an area, ask him. Ask him. Amen. If you're still struggling with an area where you need to be healed, part of what's been put inside you is God's promises under the new covenant of healing. If you're lacking financially, start asking from your spirit man, saying, Lord, show me scriptures that I can stand on for my finances to be blessed. Did you know he wants us to be blessed financially? I know he does. 2 Corinthians 9 talks about that, sowing and reaping. We are victorious and we conquer through him. If you don't mind standing up with me this morning, amen. If the worship team can just play softly in the background. I just want to say, if you haven't accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, or if you're like today saying, you know what, I had a form of religion, or maybe I thought I was born again, but I was kind of relying on me to do some things to be acceptable to God. By faith, it says that you're saved by faith. If you want to come up here, we can pray with you. Don't leave today without knowing that you're born again. You're born again. If you could lift your hands with me, if you're willing, say, Lord, thank you for your freedom. Thank you for your freedom, Father God. In Jesus' name, I declare freedom over my life. I have the right as a child of God to walk in freedom because I've been born again. The enemy's been harassing me in certain areas. I've been depending on my own strength. I've been angry or frustrated about something. Father, just right now, just cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. You've been born again. You have all the wisdom you need right there in your belly. Just ask the Lord. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. What's the living water? It can be wisdom. It can be healing. It can be direction. It can be for others. And because his DNA is in me, I'm declaring it over my children. They have my DNA.
Yes. Yes.
When I talk to my children, even in their struggles, I say, you have my DNA. And not just in the natural, but in the supernatural. We declare that over our families today. We declare that over our children, our grandchildren, mothers, fathers, nieces, and nephews. We declare, Father God, that they have our DNA.
Yes.
Because the Word of God says, you and your household shall be saved. So we declare that today, Father God. Packed with power in the inner man by the Holy Ghost, Father God. The answers I need are found, Father God, through connecting with your spirit, through the word of God, because I have been born again.
Yes.
A new creation.
Yes.
All things have become new.
Yes.
As we walk, as I was showing that thing where the spirit man right here, having the emotions that we need to maybe rein in and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to let my emotions direct my life. Father God, I go to reasoning and I can't figure it out in my mind. Father God, I'm going to trust you. You're going to figure that thing out. I'm not going to trust in just my reasoning. I think with things like that, when God starts seeing that maturity, is when we start seeing doors open. Because he doesn't want to do things that'll wreck us. But I can tell you, he wants to open doors. But there's going to have to be a certain thing of understanding the spirit man in me is in charge. Large and in charge.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
Slaying giants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Walking in faith. Letting his reasoning direct me.
Yeah.
Do you have the heart to say, Lord, thank you. He says, I'll do things for you that are beyond your imagination.
Yeah.
He does those things.
Yeah.
Because the Creator lives in me. So, Father, thank you for a fresh understanding. Lord, as we fan the flame of the giftings, the abilities, the callings, the purposes. Or just if you just need peace day by day. Lord, I need your peace. Walk it. You're born again, Lord. I can trust you. His anxiety is broken in Jesus' name. And walking in your peace. Father, we thank you for that today. Thank you, Father, that we are born again. Not of natural, but spiritual. Full of your DNA today, Father, from the spirit man. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. If you'd like to pray when we close, we're going to sing a song and we're going to close. Thank you for joining me today at church. Isn't it good to be here? Amen. Good to see you guys. God bless you.
Your family and your children.